Oh, cool.
Oh, we're live?
Yeah.
All right. So are we going to say our pineapples? Pineapple. Yes.
Pineapple.
Pineapple.
All right. The reason why we're saying pineapple, everybody, is because we were having a lot of fucking trouble with the mic earlier. So we kept using pineapple as our word to test out the mic. So
our safe word, if
our
you were.
Safe word.
So pineapple,
will.
Everybody.
Pineapple.
This is Hilda.
This is Kim.
I'm Israel.
And together we are
Real Motherfucking Talk.
Oh, shit. That was great.
Yeah.
Man, we're not even going to do that again.
Yeah.
Pros. All right. Let's today we want to go, since this is Real Motherfucking Talk, we want to get into the actual subject of keeping it 100. Real Motherfucking Talk. Or being honest, if you will.
Shooting it straight.
Mm-hmm.
Telling it like it is.
So let's go. Let's talk about it, everybody.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
So what I wanted to get into first was the concept, and I was just talking about this with Kimberly and Israel, is a concept of, first of all, before being honest with anybody else, you got to be honest with yourself. You got to keep it 100 with yourself. If you can't do that, then how the fuck are you going to expect to be honest with anybody else? So that being said, we can get into shadow work. I don't know if either of you have encountered shadow work before.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've come across it a lot more lately. I feel like I've read it a lot more. I've heard people talking about it a lot more. And it just seems like a concept that's coming up a lot more, especially in my life. So I guess that may be significant to me. But the idea of shadow work comes from the psychiatrist named Carl Jung, which I believe is actually, he studied under Freud.
Freud.
So, take it like you want to take it, because, you know, we don't like Freud too much. Guy was an asshole. But his idea of shadow work was that the shadow is actually the id, or the unconscious, the dark side of our personalities that we want to keep hidden from ourselves, even that we kind of project on other people because we don't want to deal with it ourselves. So that's the idea of shadow work, is going into ourselves. You know, like those people who end up going to those ayahuasca ceremonies, or you go to the mountains and you meditate for like 10 years and they come back all enlightened and shit.
Right.
They went and did the shadow work.
Mm-hmm.
They went and did the shadow work, you know.
Okay.
Which some people don't, but yeah.
So just like reaching into your darkest.
Yeah.
And just then just projecting it out so people. So
well,
you're pretty much just laying it out.
No,
I guess I don't understand.
It's more like a lot of introspection. So it's instead of you taking something that you recognize as a part of you that you say that's not right, or it's ugly, I don't like it. So you just take that and you project it onto other people to kind of, it's almost like you're distancing yourself from it by projecting it onto others and making it seem like it's their problem.
Oh.
Or really, like, really, it's yours. So when you do the shadow work, you're just dealing with it directly and saying, this is a part of me somehow, and I've got to learn how to deal with it, you know, whether that's to change behaviors or to accept who you are, you know. I feel like my shadow work has been, like, just endless nights of crying myself to sleep, like, thinking about things, you know. Like, it's just everyone's differently. And I remember, like, I tell people that, and they're like, oh, my God, that's so sad. But it's like, no, like, sometimes you just have to sit there and think about things and really come to terms with what is it that you're feeling, or what is it about you that you want to deal with. And it, like, I feel like it is. It's very, like, not lonely, but only you can do it, and you have to do it your own way, whether that is an ayahuasca ceremony, which is, I think, why it's so intense for so many people, because you never put yourself in that headspace, really. So when you do, it's like, it's very emotional.
It's intense.
It's really intense. You know, and some people do it by meditation. Like, some people do it by journaling. Some people, you know, there's a lot of different ways to get to it. But yeah, it's a lot of work. And yeah, I mean, I'm all here for it. You know, I love
yeah.
it.
So, yeah, so piggybacking off that idea of where the part where you start projecting on other people the things that you feel are, you know, your darkest sides, that's part of keeping it real with yourself. You know, when somebody tells you, you say, hey, can you be honest with me, Kimberly? Mm-hmm. And then Kimberly's honest with me and she tells me, hey, Hilda, you know what? I think you're being kind of a bitch to me. You've been kind of a bitch to me for the last 2 weeks and I'm not really feeling it. And if I'm not doing the work beforehand, if I haven't gotten to the point where I'm accepting of my behaviors or I'm actually kind of noticing my own behaviors, then my response might be, fuck you.
Yeah, you're that's just not an true. Asshole. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry that you took it the wrong way, Kimberly. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't believe you would think that.
Yeah.
I was
yeah.
trying to be that way. It's like, you know.
Instead of taking a step back and saying, like, oh, you know what? I have flaked on you, or like, I have, you know, maybe I didn't do this thing we agreed to do, or whatever it may be, you know. I have a good example of that, actually, I think. I don't think you were there, but you were definitely there when we were camping with Sal and the girls.
Oh, yeah.
And we had that huge, like, it was just awful. Like, we didn't end up getting along with the girls at all. Like, Jessica was there. Marina was there. I forget the other girls' names.
I had a friend.
Yeah. So it was a bunch of girls and Sal, of course, because that makes perfect sense.
Right.
And Sal does not give a fuck about anything. So it's just a hot mess. And I don't know what, something ended up just being like a deal breaker. And Jessica was there. She was my friend from high school, too. And so is Nina. Like, we've known each other now for what, 15 years, if not more. And I, like, got really upset and... Jess and I stopped talking for like 2 years.
Wow.
Really?
We didn't talk.
I didn't know that.
Wow.
And, you know, because she felt that I had been like really unfair to Marina. And I was like, Marina is like another person, but she's like nothing to me. You know, like I didn't know her. I just thought she was being a bitch along with the other girls. And anyway, so, and I feel like at that point I was like, well, that sucks. I really like Jessica. I really like being friends with her. But, you know, she was being a bitch too, and she didn't have a right to. And I don't know, just like one day I was like, man, you know what? I probably was being unfair and I probably wasn't being like the best, you know, person, like after spending what, 3 days out there.
Yeah,
like,
that was intense.
That was it.
It was
I couldn't.
Intense camping trip.
And, you know, and I remember I sent her an email and I was just like,
pretty formal.
I was like, hey, Jess. Yeah. I was like, hey, like, I know we haven't talked in a while, but I was thinking of you. And I was just, I remember just very honest with her about, like, how much I missed her and how much she meant to me as a friend and how, like, now looking back, I think that argument was stupid, like, you know. And she replied back, like, immediately and was like, yes, you know, like, water under the bridge, not a problem. Like, call me, we'll... You know, at that point, I was living on the East Coast. She was like, call me when you get back and we'll have dinner or something. And
wow,
we've
beautiful.
Been friends again since.
That's fucking beautiful.
You know, and I think that's when I really started to understand, like, I had to really take responsibility for how I was acting a lot of the times when I thought things were going wrong to kind of look at.
Do you think that came with, like, maturity or?
That came with therapy. That came with therapy because actually what. And I actually got sent to therapy by one of my instructors, my professors, actually, because he was like, he's like, I read your papers. I read what you write. And he's like, I know your mind is there, but just personality wise, like you can just be so like abrasive sometimes and you kind of have to connect the two. And then I was just having a really hard time in college. And one day I had a panic attack and I didn't know what it was. And so he helped me. But he was like, I need you to go, like, literally across the street and go to therapy, like, right now. And, yeah, that therapist was hot. So I was like, I will stay. He was so hot. And, yeah, he, like, I cried so much during that first year because he made me keep a journal, which I already did, but his was, like, more detailed and everything. And every time I had, like, an argument or something with a person, he's like, you have to write it. You have to write what you said. You have to write what the person said. And we would, like, dissect it in therapy, and he would be like, okay, what if that person has said that to you? Like, what have your response been? And I'd be like, well, they have no right to say that. Well, you know, like, if you feel like other people don't have a right to say that, what gives you the right to say that to people?
Right.
And that was really painful for me because I was used to just telling people what I was thinking and like expecting nothing in return. Like they weren't allowed to, like I was allowed to dish it out, but I can take it for sure. That was me like 100%. And he really made me like start to think about it differently. And I feel like that's around the time where I was just like, I love Jess. Like, why did I stop talking to her over the stupidest thing? You know,
it was such a silly thing.
Yeah. Like really I would never stop talking to someone about that now.
Yeah. It was a camping trip that we went on. She did mention that. It was a camping trip that we went on. And like she said, it was three young women. We were, how old were we?
Oh my God, we were like 20.
And honestly, it was some silly shit. It was the third girl, honestly. I'm going to be straight up about, I'm going to be 100, everybody. It was that one third girl that just kind of fucked everything up between us all. And it was all of our faults, but she definitely was a catalyst to that whole thing. She said some stupid shit. And I remember being.
I really want to know what the fuck went on because.
So we're in the car on the way to. It wasn't Yosemite. It was the other Sequoia. National park, Sequoia. And we're going to Sequoia, and me and Kimberly were in the back of the Suburban. I think we were in. And
just trying to have a good old time
and sleeping and being ourselves, being Kimberly and Hilda. So if any of you know us. Then, you know, Kimberly and Hilda do Kimberly and Hilda.
Yeah, you probably got roasted by them, too, at some point in time.
Probably, yeah.
Tag team.
We're soulmates. What can I say?
Yeah. You know, did you say old maids?
Soulmates.
Oh,
old maids are
old maids. Soulmates.
Old maids is way better. We're old maids. But anyway, the third girl, I don't remember her name.
Was it Tanya?
I was thinking Tanya. It was Tanya then.
Really?
Oh, do you know her too?
Yeah.
Okay. So the third girl. Hey, Tanya.
Tanya. What's up? Going on? Water under the bridge. We're good.
But it was something weird that she had said.
She wanted to play a game.
I think there was a song.
She wanted to like relax.
It was a song that came on, and I don't think I had heard it because it was honestly it was some white shit, and. She was like, you guys haven't heard this song? You don't know it? And I was like, bitch, no, I have never heard this in my life.
No, what the hell?
And then that was a moment where, for me, it was like, click, nah.
She was so insistent about it. I think it's the fact that she pushed it so much. Like, to be a big deal that you hadn't heard this song.
Yeah, and I think, you know, being a younger person back then, I was also easier to just kind of
I had a short fuse.
Set off. So we were both easier to set off. And when we felt like one of us was being attacked, then we were like, what?
What are you doing?
Fucking bitch.
Shink. Claws coming out.
Yeah, then we were fucking assholes for the rest of the time.
We were like the nicest girls at our school, too.
We were
like,
nice girls.
I can't even imagine what other people were like.
Yeah, we were nice girls. But yeah, that's what happened on that trip. And yes, it does take some maturity, some therapy sometimes. Whatever work that you have to do in order to really start looking into yourself and seeing your behaviors and your patterns too, you know, because sometimes if you hear something often enough, if you hear somebody one phrase often enough, then you should probably look at it because it's people telling you exactly what you're doing wrong. And it's just a matter of you accepting it and saying, hey, you know what? That's pretty fucked up, the thing that I'm doing. And I'm going to have to accept that. That's what I've been doing. And a lot of people say, well, that's just who I am. And honestly, come on, nah. It's not.
Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of people's validation comes from these, like, Instagram quotes and, like, stuff like, oh, I'm a bitch and I'm proud to be a bitch. It's like, okay, bitch.
Hi. Fucking bitch.
Yeah, fucking bitch. Like, let's see how that works out for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Those memes, like, for especially the ones where women post about men being ancient, like ancient men.
Yeah.
Not ancient, because I feel like people have heard me say ancient, but it sounds like ancient. Ain't shit. Okay.
Easter Island men. Ancient men.
No, women post all these things about men being not shit.
But they're the ones with the ancient men gravitational pull.
Yes, you know? Girl. Look, sis.
Like,
sis. Look.
They're gravitating in your direction.
They're gravitating in your direction because maybe you aren't shit. Okay?
That's funny.
We're just keeping it 100, okay? But yeah, if you are gravitating toward the same person, if you keep finding yourself in the same situations with the same issues, then you have to start thinking about, is it really everybody else or is it just me not being honest with myself? So let's go into honesty and how we all feel about honesty.
I hate it. I like lies. I love lies.
Honestly,
lie
yeah.
Lie to me.
Yeah.
Look me in my face and fucking lie to me. No, I'm just kidding.
We love lies.
No, but it's true though. Like, sometimes the truth hurts. I kid around, but the truth, sometimes the truth is like hard to swallow. Someone will look in your face and lie to you and be like, that motherfucker, he's a lying sack of shit. But if he really told you how he felt about you, or if he really told you what he thought about you, you'd be like, oh, my little heart is broken or some shit. Or, I mean, I wouldn't personally, but you know, a lot of people would. I mean, maybe I would. Pretty sensitive person.
Yeah, we, you know, people really say that they value, a lot of people say they value honesty.
I think they value it as long as it doesn't negatively affect them.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, that's impossible.
Yeah.
Because we all have feelings, we're all sensitive. As much as we like to say that, you know, a lot of us are, oh no, you know, I'm old enough now to not take things personally. Yeah, there's, you do have to exercise your right to not take things personally. But we're sensitive people. We're human. Shit. But, you know, it's okay to be honest and receive that honesty and then be honest in exchange and say, hey, that hurt my feelings. Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Like that thing that you said, like, Kimberly, you said that I was a bitch. That hurt me. But
yeah,
I'd like to know what I've been doing that has made you say that I'm being a bitch,
uh-huh.
You know?
Right.
So it really is, it's hard. It's really difficult to be honest and receive honesty from other people.
It's very difficult to receive honesty.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think there's certain people that it's a lot harder to confront them with honesty also because you already know their typical, I mean, maybe you've had experiences with them before and you know how they react and it's I don't even want to go through it. Like, it's going to be a big old hassle and I'd rather not. And let's just keep fluffing it, you know? Let's,
yeah,
let's
just, exactly. I don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with it. Like, hi, how you doing? You look great.
Yeah.
It was really nice to see you. It's like, meanwhile, you're thinking like, here comes this fucking asshole again.
Yeah, for sure.
But,
yeah. And unfortunately, a lot of our most honest moments come in moments of anger, complete rage often.
Yeah.
Even though we, a lot of the times, you know, after you get an argument with somebody and you say, no, I was just upset. I was just saying things. But we all know that when we're upset, we tend to be pretty honest. We tend to also use hurtful words and maybe we don't.
I think the thing about being honest while you're angry is because in that moment you're looking. And again, coming back to how we are also, or we can be bad at receiving honesty is, you know, the truth is going to hurt and you like are purposefully using that in an argument because you want to see the other person hurt, like you're hurting.
Yeah.
So, you know, that while it may be true and maybe in another scenario, you know, it wouldn't come off as bad in that moment, like you're so vulnerable, they're so vulnerable and you're just like, you know, twist the knife in.
Yeah, there's that too, is, you know, asking yourself, am I being honest with this person with the intent to communicate and form a better relationship with this person, or am I being honest
to hurt?
To hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, keeping that in mind. But let's turn to some of our most honest moments. This is a part that we would like to ask everybody, whoever comes on the podcast. So, yeah. Anybody want to start?
I'll start.
Good.
It's. I can't say it's my most honest one, but it's one that comes to mind. When I applied for a social worker job with the county, and they asked, you know, a series of questions. It's pretty much like a personality test / like assessment. Mm-hmm. It's part of their background check. And, you know, You know, there's some questions you should answer a certain way, especially for the field that you're going into. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to be brutally honest because at the time I wasn't in a great headspace. So, like, it asks, like things like, you know, have you ever thought about harming yourself? Or have you ever thought about, like it asks, like, really deep shit. Like, have you ever thought that your life is meaningless or something like that? Or that do you ever feel, like, negative feelings about how you are? And I'll be like, yeah. Fuck yeah. Like, I was just answering, like, I felt like I didn't, for some reason, I didn't look at it as a, like, I was applying for a job. I take that as an opportunity just to be honest with myself. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I think that's the reason why I didn't get the job, because I was too honest, you know, because I could have easily said no, like, no, check, like, oh, I'm good, you know. But then at that point, I feel like I would be lying to myself, and then maybe, you know, I would be dealing with
other people.
Yeah, other people's problems. And then, you know, that if I haven't sorted my own shit out, how could I be dealing with other people's things? And I mean, and it's, you know, it's a social work, which I, for the most part, is dealing with kids. So
yeah,
I didn't want to do all that. But, you know, it's one of those things that it was like a, it sucked at the time because I was really hard on myself because I was like, oh, I can't believe I didn't get the job. But at the same time, I knew why I didn't. I didn't pursue, because they said that you could find out why you didn't, but I didn't even, like, pursue it and, like, try to get more details why I didn't pass the background. Mm-hmm. And but I mean, in my heart of hearts, I knew what it was. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I really took that as a time, like, for introspection, though. But it was a time that I was brutally honest with myself, you know. And yeah, with my potential employer. But, you know, I think it worked out for the best, you know, for myself and any other person that may have been involved in that. But it was definitely a tough pill to swallow, like, answering those questions like that, because I was, like, just, like, I felt like I was, just, like, staring through that paper. Like, like, I was reading those questions, but I was, like, you know, like, diving in. Like, yeah. Like, if I was diving in from, like, a 30 story building, you know, it felt like that. Because then after that, like, they bring you in with the, I don't know, it was a mental health professional, but
yeah,
and they ask you, you know, specific questions. So why did you answer this like this, or why did you say this? And then it's like, oh fuck, I didn't know there was gonna be some sort of follow up. Like, I was just answering questions.
I don't know how to discuss this.
Yeah.
Shit.
Ah, fuck. But no, it was cool. You know, I say it was cool in the way that it gave me an opportunity to be honest with myself, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, wow. That sounds like it was kind of a turning point, too.
Yeah. It was definitely, it was the beginning of something, for sure.
Wow. That's beautiful.
That's nice. Yeah.
Do you want to?
I think I gave it away earlier. Well, first of all, I should say I'm a Cancer, so I'm, like, always
very sensitive.
Very sensitive.
And just so nobody gets the wrong idea, I have no idea about what do you call it?
Astrology.
Astrology, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
It doesn't matter.
So,
it's not going to be like an astrological forecast every podcast.
This is just me.
We'll just make shit up.
And we're deep in Cancer season. So it's, like, appropriate.
I mean, we have to throw in right now. I mean, even though it's not going to be
an astrology.
Astrology shit. But right now, we're in the middle of a really intense fucking month, everybody.
Yeah.
It's like a storm right now. We got two eclipses in this month. We got a retrograde. I don't know how many planets are in retrograde right now, but you astrologers know that. So I'm going to tell you.
I mean, I cried at work last Friday, so it's been rough.
Yeah, I've had.
Hadn't done that in months.
Yeah, man, it's been rough. I don't know if any of you, are out there who don't know anything about astrology either. If you feel like this month has been intense, you're not alone.
It has not been intense.
No, yeah, last week was rough for me. I had a lot of time off last week, but it was not an easy week. It was like, I felt like tense. Like someone was like retching at me, like just.
That's the stars in the sky, man.
Yeah, and then this week I was like, oh, thank God. I can breathe.
Yeah, I feel like people are going through it in kind of little phases. I had the first couple weeks ago, I had a rough couple weeks, and then I was able to overcome, and then I hear other people are having really rough weeks. I'm like, oh, cool. I feel like we're kind of helping each other out here because we're going in phases, and then somebody else is going through. It's like, yeah, I can help you out a little bit.
So. You know what's crazy? Like, last week was like, it was, I felt like tense the whole week. Mm-hmm. And then on top of everything, then the fucking earthquake. I was, oh my God, that was like the cherry on top. I was like super anxious the whole week. And then it starts shaking, and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, like, the earth is shaking, yeah.
And now the earth is tense.
Yeah, Mother Nature is tense right now. Honestly, when the earthquake came, I actually felt better. And it made me kind of calm down because I thought, oh, okay. Even Mama Nature is going through it. Like, I'm not alone.
Yeah. It was like the climax.
Yeah.
To be honest. You know, that's what it felt like to me. Because after that, it was like, all right. I felt like Saturday was cool and Sunday was better. And then Monday, I was like, all right, we're back to normal. We're kicking ass.
We're back at it.
Reset. No, last week was definitely rough. I remember, like, specifically, like, Friday was really bad for me. And it was, like, usually at the end of the week or the work week, I have, like, a little ritual Friday afternoons. But that day, like, especially, I was, like, I had to get home, like, just take a shower because that makes me feel like I'm just cleansing the whole week off. And I just remember coming out of the shower and being, like, so refreshed and so just, like, that's it.
Yeah.
And then the earthquake happened, like, literally, like, 5 minutes after I stepped out of the shower. And I was like, oh, okay.
We're good.
We're really raising ourselves to this extra energy around here.
Yeah.
You know?
So, but yes, Kimberly's a Cancer.
Yes, I am a Cancer. I feel like my whole existence has been a tug of war between being really honest and that honesty sometimes being very overwhelming for people and kind of pulling back so much that I'm like seen as like this kind of having like a wall that you can't penetrate. So it's always kind of been like a fight. Like, how do I find that balance between like, I can be like very like touchy feely, lovey dovey. And then, but if I feel like that person doesn't like it, or if I feel like it can be misinterpreted by that person, like, then I'll be the complete opposite. So anyway, I had been stuck in this weird work, like a position at work where I was a person that had a lot of people that I was overseeing. So I couldn't have that kind of like, you know, friendly relationship like you would make with other coworkers. But now in my new position, I can, because I'm like, they're equal and like, we can just be friends. So there's been a lot of people that I've been getting close to. And I thought, you know, like, we just kind of are on the same wavelength and whatever. And the other night we were out to celebrate my birthday and other July birthdays. And someone was like, hey, can I, like, this was like 3 hours later and like, we'd all been drinking. I get this question a lot. And someone was like, hey, can I ask you something? And as soon as I saw who it was, I was like, I know exactly what she's going to ask me. And I was like, yes, you can ask me. She was like, but you won't get offended, will you? And I was like, again, I already know what you're going to ask me. But yes, you can ask me. And she was like, are you lesbian? I was like, no, I'm not a lesbian. And she's like, you know, just because I see you, sometimes you're like braiding someone's hair. Or you just walk by and you like rub their shoulder.
braiding hair is lesbian.
Yeah, braiding.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Watch out, everybody.
And then
keep a leg out for hair braiders.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, wow, the 1950s.
Right? What the hell?
And then I think what kind of like really just, I felt like it was a little dig was, she's like, well, you know, you should be careful because, you know, she basically, without me giving out a lot of things that I don't want to give out on this show, is I have a lot to lose, according to her. Hmm. And I wouldn't want to put myself in a position where I had something to lose because my behavior might be misinterpreted.
Wow.
But yeah, I don't know. So I feel like that's.
So she was she. Was it like a threat or something? Or?
I feel like it was like a veiled threat.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. It felt a bit.
Yeah. You know.
But I don't know.
But that's those are the kind of things where I'm like, I feel like, oh, I'm being honest, like with, you know, in like my emotions or like, you know, how I feel for people. And then it just takes someone to kind of make a veiled threat like that, where again, I'm like, this is the 1950s, like, what the hell? But, you know, then I'm just like, ah, should I really not be doing that? Should I be more guarded? Blah, blah, blah. And I think those are the kinds of things. I mean, ultimately, I decided, like, she's fucking crazy. Like, you know, I'm not going to stop being friendly with these people who are also friendly with me. Just because in her mind, like, I'm out to make everyone a lesbian, I guess.
Yeah. the lesbian agenda.
Yeah, fucking
but,
out there recruiting.
But no, I mean, the cherry on top of that was when I had to adamantly be like, no, I'm not a lesbian. Like, I've been through
is
that.
She, wait, is she?
No, but I feel like secretly she wants to be.
Because, right, that's what it sounds
because
like.
Because when I said no, she was like, oh, thank God. And I'm
yeah, like if you were,
yeah.
She was all over for you that night.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank God. Put my pants back on.
I have to aggressively pursue you now. Fuck.
You know, exactly. And it's
oh, that's
like,
so funny,
oh my
dude.
God.
That's really funny.
But
people are so, they're such a trip, dude. Like,
yeah.
Because she was definitely projecting some shit that was going on with her onto you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it seems like. But, you know, that's just my humble opinion.
Yeah, this is our therapy talk.
Yeah,
I know it is.
Can we get her in here or what?
I'm yeah. Like, so could she come through?
Yes. Yeah, so,
let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's.
I mean, if you have a bottle of tequila, I'm sure she'd be here in a second.
We got bottles of tequila.
Girl.
Yeah. So I feel like that's, yeah, I can't pinpoint a specific moment, but I just think overall in my life, just that struggle between being really myself and still kind of ensuring that people don't get carried away in their perceptions, which I, in a perfect world, it'd be like, oh, it doesn't matter. But I feel like there's been so many times in my life where like managing people's perception of me is a big, unfortunately, a big deal in me getting ahead.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just, it's unrealistic to think like people's perception of me doesn't matter. You know,
right.
I mean, I've been called into my boss's office because I was, you know, told that I was unequipped to handle the job because I slammed my office door one time.
Wow.
You know, when men have like literally thrown tantrums and no one bats an eye.
Yeah.
You know, people have told me like, oh, I think you're overreacting when I've reported like a sex case, you know, a rape or something. And I'm just like, oh my God. This is the world we live in. So, you know.
2019, everybody.
Yes.
2019.
Yeah, right. Wow. Man, if I told you, like, the stories about work, where I work, like, it's like, I think, you know, people try to be as progressive as they're, as, let's see, how can I, it's like progressive enough so they can keep their job, maybe?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I work with all guys, so you could already see how that goes. Like,
right.
Like, people say some outlandish shit, you know, or, like, you know, there's a lot of conservative folks where I work. And it's like, it's heavier on that than to the left. You know what I mean? So
I feel like when people say, like, how did Trump get elected? I don't understand. I think people underestimate the amount of friends.
I think they don't – they have, like, their blinders on. Like, they don't –
they must.
They work with certain people. They talk to certain people. They watch certain things. They listen to certain things. But then, like, for me, and for instance, like, you know, since I started working where I work, it's like I could honestly say that – majority of people probably voted for Trump.
Yeah.
And this is like blue collar people. This is,
yeah.
These people make money. Like, they're not, they're not like some bum off the street or nothing, or like some ignorant dude. These are like smart people that, right, you know, could, you know, balance a checkbook, or, you know, yeah, have mortgages, have multiple properties, you know, or have a lot of family. They have a lot of, they're very well respected people in their craft or whatever. And, you know, they have a lot of influence with people.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely crazy.
Yeah. I don't understand when people are like, oh, I don't understand how Trump is.
I'm like, oh, I know exactly how.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't, whatever. It's like, whoever's our president is,
it's a just, reflection.
Yeah.
It's just a reflection of the population. So that's the real shit, guys.
Yeah.
So I'll close it off with my most honest moments. I have to say that my most honest moments are actually recently, and they involve my parents, because as everybody who knows me very well knows that my parents raised a very good liar. So I was never very honest with my parents about things I did outside of home. And I actually didn't move out of their house until fairly recently. And I started actually being honest with my dad mostly, you know, just to kind of test the waters, because my dad's a lot more tolerant of certain things than my mom. He takes things a lot better. But I was just honest about the things that I'm doing for real, like, say, my use of psychedelics. I tell my dad, and I actually, the reaction that I got out of him was mostly just, he didn't even bat an eye. He was like, oh, yeah, you know, seems interesting, but I'm not into it. Like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't do it myself, but it seems pretty interesting. And I told him about, you know, doing the ceremonies with psychedelics, and he's like, oh, that sounds really interesting. Yeah, man, I don't think I could do it, but it sounds really cool.
Yeah. So,
and I was thinking, wow, you know, I didn't realize that I could have just been dishonest all along.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you could have.
You don't think so?
I think
my, especially my dad, like, maybe like as your kids grow older, you know,
mm-hmm.
you it's not that you stop giving a fuck as much, but you realize that, you know, they're adults too. You're an adult. They're an adult. You go through a lot of shit as an adult that, you know, as kids, you worry about kids because they're, you know, fragile physically and mentally, and they're still molding. But then once you become an adult, it's like, it's not like you're not fragile or you're still being molded, but I think it's, you come to an age that you're kind of at a level plane as far as certain types of experiences or what you experience on a daily, you know, or like, you know, what anxieties trouble you, or how to cope with things, you know, and maybe it's just something like, hey, it's just another way to cope, you know,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because it's, you're going through something and you're putting yourself through some sort of fire, maybe like some sort of stress, some sort of, putting yourself through something to cope with it, you know what I mean?
Right, right, right.
And it's, as long as it's not self-harming, it's, you know, it's just another way of coping.
And it's another way. Yeah, and yeah, I think that that's another thing, you know, he's being honest with himself as well as a parent,
yeah,
about his children.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but I feel like lately I've been a lot more honest with both of my parents actually about the things that I do. And I told them the story about when we went to Santa Cruz and I accidentally got high, everybody. So
that was fun.
They thought it was funny. My mom thought it was moderately funny. But no, what I'm saying is I was never able to be this honest with my parents. Maybe for some people, some of you out there may have had that relationship with your parents already, where you're very honest about everything that you do. I did not have that. Uh-huh. So this has been something that is very new to me, and it's very liberating, because I feel that I told this to somebody, actually, to one of my friends. I said, you know, once I can be honest with my parents, there is nobody on this earth that I can't be honest with, because those are the two people that I was the most afraid of being honest with. So now that I'm honest with them about a lot of things, and I've told them a lot of things about myself now, there's things that they've come across where they didn't want to know and I didn't want them to know, but, you know, I had to explain to them. So there's been a lot of things where I've had to explain to my parents, and I think it's been very liberating
Yeah.
So my honest moments have come a lot with my parents. So here we are, everybody.
That's wonderful.
In full-blown honesty.
Yes, we love it.
So
we're actually sitting around butt naked, everybody.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
In our truth.
Sun's out, buns out.
Just kidding. That would be weird.
That would be weird.
That would be weird.
But yeah. Oh, by the way, everybody, if you know of any nude beaches anywhere, let me know, please. Also, everybody, there is a way that you can
a plug for nude beaches.
Yeah, give me the plug.
It's like you're putting out like a classified ad. Hello, friends. Searching for nude beaches.
Searching for nude beaches in the Los Angeles area.
Yeah.
Or California. I mean, I'll expand to California because I think LA doesn't really allow nude beaches. But I'm looking to even out my tan. But also, I don't know if you all know this, but you can actually download Anchor. This is not an advertisement, but I just want you all to know that you can download Anchor. And you can send us voice messages and tell us your most honest moments.
Oh, nice.
If you wish. That would be great. Or if you have questions or anything that you want to talk about, then the phone lines are open, everybody.
Give us a buzz.
Yeah, give us a buzz.
Give us a ring.
We'll get our NPR voices on.
Oh, yes. We'll respond to all your messages.
That sounded like a phone sex line.
Yeah, it did.
Ooh.
I thought we were doing NPR, but whatever. All right, cool. But anyway.
NPR can be sexy, too.
NPR can be sexy. But
yes, it can.
But until next time, friends, lovers, and family, keep it 100, keep it real.
We're cool. Fucking talk.
Pineapple.
Pineapple.